reading the scriptures this morning. I love this passage. It's one, actually, because it's got so much of the gospel wrapped up in it, it's one that I've memorized. Does anyone else do that? Am I the only one that memorizes long passages of scripture? Because then, no matter where you are, whether you have a Bible available, although these days most of us do have a Bible available, you can recite scripture to lift up your soul. So just to have the background to this a bit, it's picking up from 2 weeks ago, where Jesus sent out the 72 of his disciples, and sent them to spread the message that the Messiah has come. And then he said, whoever listens to you, listens to me. But whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So it's all about making that connection that Jesus is the Son of God, not just a good teacher. So the 72 went out and then returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied from a memory that he had from ancient times. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. So all the sages and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were reading and looking and well studied, but it was his simple disciples that were first bringing the seeds of the kingdom out. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
So our reading that we've just heard describes a Christian experience which is relevant today. So for instance, I volunteered in a secular telephone listening service, and a caller said to me that they'd been satanically abused. To process that experience, they sometimes acted as a submissive woman and sometimes as a dominant man. They spoke to me as each of these people. After the call, I debriefed with my supervisor, but that debrief was secular and didn't really deal with the spiritual result of the call. The experience left me afraid of evil. I saw and heard things that weren't there. I was scared of the dark. I was sleeping with the light on. I asked my minister of the time for help, and I met him and his female colleague. I knelt, and they prayed over me. They prayed in tongues. They prayed in English. They prayed in Jesus' authority to spiritually restore me. They asked God to deliver me from evil and to remove my fear. As they prayed, it felt like a fever left me. The minister and his female colleague had worked in God's power. Afterwards, I was delivered from evil. I wasn't seeing and hearing things anymore. I was free of fear. I was restored. The minister said that I actually physically looked quite shiny. And I was absolutely elated with the freedom that I was experiencing. I share this experience to make three points. One, our reading is relevant today. Two, God has authority over evil. I know from my experience, God has authority over evil. Three, just like those three disciples, we are in God's kingdom, so we can work in Jesus' power to respond to evil and to good. And the rest of my talk focuses on that third point. While I preach, you are welcome to either draw or write your experience of working in God's power. There's pens and paper stuck on some of the bits of wood around the room if you would like to do that. If you're somebody who likes to do two things at once, listen and work. If you're somebody who likes to do one thing at a time, then there'll be a little bit of time after the talk to do that too. We're all different. Praise the Lord. So let's circle back and look at our reading, which Susan brought to us earlier. Luke's gospel describes Christ as the perfect man and saviour and summarises Jesus' ministry. And Luke's gospel is to Gentiles and to people everywhere. We join the gospel, as Susan said, just after Christ's been travelling around, and Jesus heals the sick, overcomes demons, and shares the good news. And Christ has many followers. In Luke 10, the Messiah sends out 36 pairs of disciples to copy his ministry. In Jesus' power, they say that the kingdom is near, they expel demons, they overcome evil, and they heal the sick. And Carl preached on that quite recently. In our reading, the 72 disciples that have been sent out in pairs joyfully return to Jesus. And if I paraphrase what Jesus says back to them, it's, "Our Father reveals spiritual truths to all Christians. The most important truth is that we have an eternal, perfect relationship with our Father. And another truth is that Jesus gives Christians authority to overcome Satan and evil." There's another little verse that I was asked to talk about today. So I'm just also going to read that to you, which is Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. And it is actually a privilege to read the scripture to you, because somewhere in the scriptures it does say that blessed are they who read the scripture. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And that that little bit is from Ephesians. Ephesians overall is written to the church in Ephesus and to Christians everywhere. And Paul invites believers to be wise by understanding God's will. Paul urges us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who brings God's wisdom. And Paul asks Christians to live wisely, that is, to do God's will at every opportunity. So if we try and bring all of that together that we've just been listening to, and also what Susan was mentioning to us earlier, it might be easy to remember. It's triple A, acumen, authority, and action. Acumen, authority, action. So starting with acumen. Acumen means knowledge or wisdom. an essential acumen includes that each Christian has an eternal, perfect relationship with the Holy Trinity. And also the Holy Spirit lives in us as a foretaste of the heaven to come when all relationships are perfect. And you can't get better than that. You really can't get better than that. Acumen includes knowing God's will, and we learn God's will by studying the Bible. Some issues are really easy to study. I think the Ten Commandments and Jesus' teaching are pretty clear that God expects us to put God first. Some things are harder to study, as the Bible doesn't necessarily mention them. The Bible does not contain words like computer, climate change, car, football, and democracy. I'm open to correction on that. So, for instance, to understand how God wants Christians to respond to climate change, we might study the Bible. Some scholars think that environmentalism is not important at all, as creation becomes a new heaven and a new earth. Other scholars think that humans are created partly to look after creation, and so God wants us to be eco-friendly. So there are, I agree with the latter one, just to be clear. Acumen, or wisdom, also comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost helps us study the Bible and apply what we learn. Also, the Holy Spirit gives direct instructions, direct revelations about God's will or from God, such as prophecy, and there are others. Information from the Holy Spirit and the Bible always align. And if they conflict, I think either somehow our study didn't go quite right, or we didn't quite correctly hear what the Spirit was telling us. The Ephesians and the 72 were ordinary Christians, yet Jesus and Paul expect them to have acumen. Acumen enables ordinary Christians to distinguish God's will from evil. And authority is the second A. God is the top authority, and he has authority over heaven, earth, over death and life, over Satan and good. So, for instance, God speaks, causing creation to form, and when Jesus expels demons, they obey. Jesus gives Christians authority to overcome Satan and evil. It's God's authority. It's God's authority, not ours, that frees, heals, and restores. We also know that the Bible is authoritative, and that's because the Holy Ghost, the top authority spirit, directed the writing of the Bible. And we know that the Bible is authoritative, as when Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days, he quotes the Bible to overcome Satan and temptation. Jesus' name has authority. And this is something which is not such a big thing in our society today, I don't think, doing things in people's name. But anyway, Jesus' name has authority. In Bible times, a person and their name were almost equivalent. And often a name showed the character and the presence of a person. So speaking in someone's name was speaking in their authority. So when believers say, "In the name of Jesus," we speak in Jesus' authority. We speak in life-giving authority. Acumen and authority are at rest until we action them. So to me, should have put it in a better place, shouldn't I? It's a bit like this AAA battery. Are we all familiar with the AAA battery? I don't know. I don't know whether more people are higher tech than me and they just, you know, have things that they charge up electronically. But yeah, it's a bit like a AAA battery. There's power and stuff in there, but it's not really doing a whole lot sat there on its own at rest. All that stuff in there is just at rest. But when I actually put it in a radio, then that radio makes a sound. And if I got the right channel, it's a good sound. that radio then fulfills its potential. And similar to this battery, we fulfill our potential when we use acumen and authority to act. When we action acumen and authority, we work in God's power. And then if we have a little think about that action, Christians use acumen and authority to act in God's power. Some Christians think the Bible says that it's important that everybody has food. You know, overall, they think it's that the Bible says that everyone needs food. And they act on their acumen and authority of God's word. So what I mean is they might share food by giving it to a food bank to try and make God's word happen, to contribute to making God's work happen. And when they work in God's power, they see people fed. The 72, my former minister and his colleague, acted in God's in acumen and authority. They know that Jesus is Lord over all, and they had authority in Christ. They prayed in the name of Jesus to overcome evil. So they saw people, me, freed and restored. They saw people, me, fearless and elated. When we work in Jesus' power, we see God's will done. When we work in God's power, and back to this again, the vision on this banner over here is fulfilled. Because when we work in God's power, we see kingdom life across the city of Ely. I'll end this little bit with a version of an ordinary and amazing prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. But it is a version, so you might not be so familiar with it. Let's pray. Heavenly and perfect Dad, may creation honour everything you are. Creation longs for the new heaven and the new earth. May your will be done. Provide enough resources to meet human needs. May those resources be well distributed. Forgive us for our sins. May this cause us to forgive others. May we pass the test and overcome temptation. Deliver us from evil. You are the top authority for eternity. Amen.